The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Doesn't that make you feel safe to know even the darkness is around about him? We don't have to fear the darkness. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of the judgments, of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Yea, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So, Lord, that's what we're here for tonight, just to give you thanks. Just to thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, if you never did another thing for us, we have enough to keep going on, Jesus. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to know you more, Lord. We want to get more into your presence, Lord. You have such wonderful things in mind for us. And I thank you for all that you've done. It excites me, Lord. It excites me to know that you have so much more that you want to do. So, Lord, we come and we just keep coming. We love this repetition, Lord. We love to be repetitious in this, Lord. Come into this place over and over and over again, Lord, and meeting you and bringing you in, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day. And we've come to rejoice and give you glory and honor and praise. So, Lord, we just place every thought on you right now, Jesus. We give you all the glory because we love you and because we are thankful that we know you, Jesus. I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you for my salvation, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in making a way for us to get there with you, Jesus. Thank you for your plan, Lord, that's unfolding in our lives. We thank you for this walk that we're on, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to help us to stay on this walk, fixed in you, Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many are glad for that glory? Worship you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, it's the glory of Jesus. Worship you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just magnify you. Would you do that right now? In His presence and His glory right now, we just worship you. You're so worthy. The blind see and the lame walk. The deaf hear and the dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. All to the glory of Jesus. Your grace. Your grace. Your grace is sufficient. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for that grace, Lord. Thank you for that grace. Hallelujah. The last thing he said in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, the last line, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Not only is it the last statement, it was the last book to be read, written. So the last thing he had to say to us was, be filled with grace. Hallelujah. Be filled with grace. And if you could be filled with the grace of the Lord, you could access everything else. Hallelujah. The thing that we've always got to keep in front of us is this. This is vitally important. Is that in everything that we're doing for revival, it's all accessible by grace. And by grace alone. Hallelujah. Works. Works don't produce it. All of our good works, anything. Hallelujah. So you could fast for 1,000 years and you'd be dead. Praying in tongues, it's all by grace. The Word, the worship, the Word settled, so you just receive it. It's what he said a moment ago. That, see, we're praying affectionately for an outpouring where things will be real easy in the spirit realm, where multiple people at one time get healed and filled. But you can bet this. It's not that atmosphere that comes and validates whether this word is true. It's the truth of this word that brings that atmosphere. See, if you don't understand that, then you're the one, the little doggy chasing its tail. You got things in reverse. You got the cart in front of the horse. See, the thing of it is, why does that matter? It matters like this is because long before anything that gives you tingles, and we get a lot of those around here, His Word says that with His stripes, we were healed. Now, one thing that we may be missing is this, is the level of endurance in the Word. That men like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth and those kind of guys possessed. Because long before they ever knew anything about an outpouring or a standing like that, they just blatantly took the Word of God and they found it at the turn of the century when the healing revival came. And they said, people don't have to be sick. And they would go into homes and they would just stay there until people would absolutely, just miraculously be healed. When John G. Lake started his healing rooms in Spokane, Washington, they were like laboratories. They'd bring a bunch of people in there and they'd put almost like scientists with white jackets around them, but not really, but people that just believed the Word of God and just would begin to lay hands on the sick. And just blatantly, there wasn't no necessarily revival taking place, but 3 out of 5 would just get healed right there. The next one would, they said, usually would get healed in their going. You'd have 1 out of 5. That's a pretty good record without revival. You know what it is? You got to understand something. You don't have to wait until a revival atmosphere comes. Because if His Word said it, you can just camp on it. And you can receive it out of what the Word says. A lot of times we'll say this, in the revival, we got to watch ourselves. Because right now, before anything ever happens, we can receive it. We can have a long line of miracles before the revival. What's that? It's already been paid. So, any good thing that we're trying to do, like that we believe, that is His Word, like praying in tongues, and worship and fasting and any inroad, that doesn't replace grace. Now, here's the deal. Here's the reality of it, as sure as I'm standing here. There's no set time. There's no like, okay, I've got a, like God saying, okay, you need 10 more years or this, that, and the other. If we could, if I could, step out of enough of the flesh before the service was over and just absolutely with everything in me believe that this word is what it's supposed to be and is, then there wouldn't be anything that could stand before me that would be impossible, because as He is, so are we in this earth. Hallelujah. So all that this grace is doing by every tongue that is spoken, by every prayer that is prayed, by every hour of worship, it's not replacing grace, because grace says it's done now. And that's a reality. I mean, it shouldn't, as far as God's concerned, if we could get past the levels of flesh, we could step into it and have it by 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the whole outpouring. That's how immediate it is. That atmosphere that's coming doesn't confirm this. This gives us the evidence that we can go get that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If I believed it enough, don't you? Well, I'm going to. Hallelujah. I'm going to. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. Why? Because if something stands in my way so strong that it looks like it's going to kill me, and revival hadn't got here yet, if I'll just get like a bulldog on that word, I don't have to have a revival to live and not die. I don't have to have a revival to get my miracle. The miracle's already there in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We had a good day Sunday, didn't we? We got lashed by the Holy Spirit. Could we wash one another's feet? Romans 8. I thought we needed to look at where we're headed and where we've some vintage just for a few moments. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're starting from an accomplished position? What if we thought we were fasting ourselves into a place that we needed to obtain something through our fasting? What if we thought that if we put in more hours, that gained us a right to have? You could put in 1,000, 10,000 hours of prayer and fasting and not obtain what's already been given to you. It's already been done. It's already been done. I mean, it's already been done. And the hardest thing to get through our thick heads sometimes is that we're doing something to try to get. My God, the only thing we're trying to do is to get ourselves in a position to believe it's already been done. And if you can believe that, it will be. Hallelujah. So stretch your faith towards me and just help me for a moment. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the day that now is and the day that is coming. But more than anything else, if we're going to go on like you've called us to go on, help us to realize what has presently been given to us. And how that, Lord, there's nothing that can replace your grace. Because that's the final standing, is that we're standing in your strength. And so it's by your strength that we stand tonight and we receive every application of the Word of God and all the strength that comes through it and by it. We bless you, Father. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we haven't read any portion of Romans 8 in a while. But boy, don't we love it. Look at verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led, you could say, by that new nature, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, you could put Himself, that would be a better translation, bears witness with our spirit. And we won't even try to cover what we've covered before, because this is the first place that the Holy Spirit's mentioned through, though many spirit, many words of using the Spirit has been mentioned up to this point. Everything else has been in direct relationship to your born-again spirit. But here's how the Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit, our little spirit. The big spirit bears witness with our little S spirit that we are the children of God. How many of you are glad for that? And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Now there is some suffering that goes along with this walk. But the suffering that He wants you to do with Him is this, is that you find that path of death, not physical death, but that you cry out, Christ, be formed in me. Christ, be formed in me. See, the greatest thing that you can pray for is that the death be executed in you, that the life also. See, the more you die, the more you live. Sounds like a dichotomy, but nevertheless, it's true. The more you learn to lay down your life, the more His life springs forth in you. But the suffering that we're suffering is this, all of everything that's being thrown at our flesh, and the enemy and the world and everything else trying to invade on the right of our spirit to go forward. And yet, we're crying, Abba, Father, and we don't like everything that we're seeing. But the Bible says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That is, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you. The best place that it's usually found that you know that there's a tremendous witness. You know there's a witness on a high day when you're worshiping God. You just feel like everything is so wonderful. But you can really, really sound the depths and get some kind of something that'll come back to you when things are really down to its lowest degree and you feel like you can't go on any further. Whatever it is that tells you, even when you cuss the cat, not that any of you have ever done that, or slammed the door real hard and said, I'm not going back to church anymore. Man, now, I know just by your expression, I'm not talking to anybody here. But smile at me so I can believe that somebody on the that hears the CD, yeah, thank you, or the website, they need your support. They need your support. So, website people, the people are smiling in your behalf. That He'll bear witness with our spirit. Now, how does He do that? He does it because we're sons and daughters. And it's that I know there's a sense in me that no matter what kind of trial I'm walking through, that something's going to get me to the other side. I know that if I don't quit, and some days I run a lot faster than others, but something on the inside keeps telling me, just put one foot in front of the other and keep going forward. How many have ever had days like that? Amen. Now the lowliest and the most humble gift of all the inroads is the one that's mentioned here in chapter 8. It's the fire starter. It's the kindling. It's the one that even after somebody's filled with the Spirit, if they don't have the revelation of it, then they don't activate it because they don't understand how important praying in tongues is. Because it's the one that is so lowly in the sense of the word is that it doesn't have to have any emotion with it. It doesn't give you tingles all the time. In fact, its bulk of ministry is to pray for you constantly and to edify you continually and to be a staple in your life that really launches everything else out. The Holy Spirit, out of that, births the teacher, or gives you, not talking about a teaching ministry, but comes to you as the teacher. Something has to activate that. Meditation alone is wonderful. It prepares you, but you have to be saved, and you must be Spirit-filled. And it helps tremendously that you pray in tongues. If you don't believe that, then talk to a bunch of Spirit-filled preachers, and they have a lot of different renditions concerning the Word of God. What about this Scripture? 15 different. But I'll tell you this, I believe this with all my heart. Dave Roberson has said it, but I have watched it come to pass. Even when I don't talk to different people that I know pray in tongues, and I don't talk to them about a particular verse, if I get together with somebody that prays in tongues a lot, our interpretation of those scriptures inevitably will always be the same. Because there's only one teacher. There's only one teacher. And it's not if they're right or if I'm right. The Holy Spirit's right. And if we'll keep praying in tongues, He'll always gravitate us towards the truth. But when He says here that if we be children, verse 17, then heirs, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Now the sufferings of this present time. We don't like what we see. I don't like picking up. There's something in my spirit that is diametrically opposed to all of this in this earth that has not been changed. There's devils out there. I don't like it that people's minds are being tormented. And the more you pray yourself into the mind of Christ, what He's talking about here is our sufferings are this. Our heart will convulse, or our heart will bleed under the power of the Holy Spirit. Something inside of us says, this is a travesty. It's not right. I want it to be changed. Our spirits don't like all. We don't like seeing people die around us when they shouldn't die. Something says that's an injustice for 46-year-old men to die at that age. We know that there's a real devil out there, and he is killing people as much as he can through ignorance. My brother-in-law, who's in his early 50s, or mid-50s, is fighting. And unless there's a miracle, and we believe in miracles, and we're standing for a miracle, there is no hope in the natural for him. No hope. My spirit doesn't like those things. There's something inside of me that's groaning for all this. Yes, we can have prayer lines, and we will have prayer lines. We can send prayer cloths. But there's something inside of me that hates all this and really wants to see it come to an end, a total end. And it won't come to a total end until Jesus comes back, until we're resurrected with Him. But my spirit is groaning, it's suffering, in that sense of the word, wanting all this to come to an end and come to a culmination. But He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, all this travesties that we're seeing, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Hallelujah. You want to see the glory of God? What's going to happen? When you get some time one day, it won't take you 10 minutes. Go to the last two books and read the book of Revelations. Those last two chapters, it says there is a crystal river of life that flows out of the throne and out of the Lamb. It says a crystal river of life and the street. It said, and on either side of this river is the tree of life. The tree of life. It's plural. It's singular, but plural. It's the same tree. It's the same tree that was in the garden. It was the same tree that's in the garden. It was on earth. Now we find it again in heaven. And it said the street, in the midst of the street thereof, it's like this river is a street. You know, you'll be able to walk on water in heaven. But if you want to take a drink of it, it said the leaves of it will be for the healing of the nations. Now, you want to wrap your mind around something that's glorious? It doesn't. We don't know what kind of glory is going to be revealed in us. We're already going to be in a state of ecstasy. There's seven no mores. When you read the book of Revelation, there's no more tears, there's no more fear, there's no more night, there's no more pain, no more sun, no more sea. I don't know, there's a couple more maybe. But the seven no mores is the things that I don't want to see anymore. No more pain, no more tears. But it said the leaves of that tree will be for the healing of the nations. Now, you're already in a place where everything you would think would be so totally perfect. It said it'll bear 12 manner of fruit, a fruit once a month. Now, I don't know how there will be no time there, because it says there is no more sun. That's another no more. No more sun, because He's the light of the day. It said no more night. So there's no night for you to think, well, here's a month just rolled by. But it says that the fruit will be bearing fruit once a month. You can pick off one of those leaves and eat it, and something will run through you like life on top of life. I'm talking about you want a high. High is being in heaven and going to a high in heaven. That's high. High is no more pain, no more tears, no more fear. And then taking a tranquilizer in heaven. I mean, that gets God high. It's incredible. Hallelujah. But you know, that's accessible to us today. Anybody that has to kind of bring their self under because of the pain or the anger, they want to kill somebody, they get so mad. There's a way out of it. I can't. I need. Well, you need pain. You need anger management. No. But you want somebody in the UFC to beat on you a while? That'll manage your anger. The only thing is, you wake up real sore. If you wake up, there's a way. All that stuff to go. But he said the sufferings doesn't even compare to what we're going to get. Hallelujah. He said, for this, I like this, 19, it says, the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that actually says creation, because it makes better sense too. The earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It means this earth is waiting for you and I to become full-fledged sons and daughters of God. Well, aren't we now? Yes, but we don't have our glorified body yet. That's the last thing that we get. And that's where, you know, the glorified body, you can't make it sin. You cannot make it sin. Now, you can. I don't care how much you pray in tongues today, you can go on a 40-day fast, come out of it, and eat enough, just enough, not to starve to death. Go back into a 40-day fast and do that repeatedly, just enough. Keep yourself on an IV just long enough, executing that positional truth that your body has been declared dead. And you can take it right down to grassroots and cleanse all the strongholds out of it. But you can't ever destroy the nature of the body. What does that mean? That means you don't have to sin, but if you just, it's just like ragweed. It just, you cannot get the root out of this body. So if you stopped, it wouldn't matter if you went 20 years on and off, fasting, executed a positional truth. And then if you went, got off, and you stopped policing yourself, and you just started relaxing, and just saying, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm not going to read the Word anymore, and I'm not going to go to church, and I'm not going to do anything spiritual. I paid enough price on that end. My body's probably dead enough. None of that stuff will grow back. It'll grow back at twice the rate. And you'll say, my God, I paid it. No, listen, it's all by grace. So there's no need you trying to work for it. You can keep your body under subjection to not sinning even without fasting. Fasting's just icing on the cake. It just executes the positional truth that your body is declared dead. It's all by grace. Hallelujah. But you prove it to yourself. You can go on long, long fasts and feel like Mary Poppins, like, I don't have any sin. I don't even think bad thoughts anymore. And man, nobody makes me mad. And man, I must have got all of the everything bad out of this body. I'm ready to just float up. I'm just ready to float up any day now. I'm just ready to float up. Well, okay, stop fasting and find out if your body's really dead. It has microscopic enzymes in it that you can't get out of it. It's called the nature of the flesh, and it will grow back. And even after you did all that fasting, you'll find out that 6 months later, you can slap somebody. You can. And you thought, man, I thought I was too far on the other side. Stop praying and let the ragweed grow back, and you'll be ready to choke somebody. In about 6 months is way too long. You can commit murder in 6 months. It's the nature of the flesh. It'll grow back. The earnest expectation of creation waits for us to get our glorified body. It says, for the creation, the creature, or better yet, really the Greek says creation. Creation was made subject to vanity. And vanity is talking about the fall. The earth was compressed in the curse. Not willingly. You know, the earth didn't stand up and say, hey, man's getting cursed. Can I fall too? No. But by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. But creation, verse 21, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, creation is literally crying out like it doesn't want. It doesn't like all the beer cans floating in its rivers. The pollution. All of everything. It's crying out, hey, when's this thing going to roll over? When's God coming back? When's the manifestation of the sons of God? I'm under a curse. Not willingly, but he who subjected man under the curse subjected me also. But watch this. We know that all creation groaneth and travaileth in pain unto now. And not only they, that's italicized because it's not there. And not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit, the first thing you got, is your born again nature. Hallelujah. In fact, that's your first line of defense. Your first basic ground genetic code line is the first fruits, which is your new nature. That's why somebody like Candy's cousin could go across the sea, and as far as we know, she never was filled with the Spirit. And she can stay 30 years on the mission field and brave headhunters and brave diseases and all those kinds of things. And she didn't know a lot about healing and all that stuff. But as long as you're born again, you have a nature like Him. So the first fruit is, and your spirit is crying, Abba, Father. And your spirit's saying, I want out of this. I want to change. But not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, O King James, is to wit, to be made complete. That's to be made complete. The redemption of our body. So our bodies cry, our spirit's crying out, our new nature's crying out, God, we want all this wrapped up. Yes, we want a revival. And the main thing that we want you to stay around for, or we want you to linger for, is our loved ones to come in to get them, because our loved ones are going to be with us. Amen? But in all reality, if our loved ones could be saved tomorrow, then on Friday, it's all right with me if all this is wrapped up. It's all right. I mean, it is all right. There's nothing, well, what about my children? I want to see them grow up. You can see them grow up in heaven. Cool, wonderful. You guys can spend, you know, you're thinking about the next 30 years in your retirement. How about the next 30 billion years? Would you trade that off with peace and everything else? It says our spirits are crying out for our bodies to be changed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, it says, ourselves grown within ourselves. So something inside of us, say, I don't know. Sometimes you'll think, well, where's that come in at? Look, when something inside of you sees all the travesties and all of the young men at 46 dying, when you see our nation with what's could be happening and the people that could be occupying the White House, and all of the evil that's out there, something inside of you says, my God, please, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. That's what John said in the book of Revelation. He said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So there's something inside of us that is crying out. You may not walk around and burp tomorrow and hear that thing come up and say, come! But something inside of you is saying, come. It's wanting Him to come. And it says here, for we're saved, verse 24, by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, that's that glorified body, we do with patience wait for it. And likewise, meaning the first line of defense was your new nature. The second line of defense, here's where the Holy Spirit steps up to the new nature when you're filled with the Spirit. Likewise, meaning as in something else. The something else is the first thing that we've just mentioned when we received the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, as we receive the first fruits of the Spirit, likewise, we've received the Holy Spirit. This is the big S. This is the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Hallelujah. That's all the things that are keeping me, debilitating me. My flesh, really, in all reality. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. It's flesh. It's got to be flesh because the devil's not big enough. And God's in agreement. In all reality, without my next scheduled fast, I should be able to step from this side of the room to this side of the room, and as far as His Word is declared, it should be done. And you should be able to bring the stretchers in here one right after the other. With something inside of me that even though I swear to it between here and there, something inside of me still questions, can it really be true? It does. And every Friday night we just get right in His face and all due respect and say, I say. He's saying, I know, I say it too. And you can have it tonight. You don't even have to go next Friday. As far as I'm concerned, you can have a pizza bash and celebrate all the miracles next Friday. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's not me you got to convince. It's yourself. It's yourself. I hate that. I hate knowing that there's something inside of me that still doesn't believe it. That's the groaning part. That is the infirmity part. You ever notice, do you ever notice when a person doesn't understand? Okay, Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, we're on this walk and we're not perfected on it. Right? We know that. We know that between there and there, there's a lot of flesh to die. That what keeps us going over here to this place called done is that His Word says it's done. And the only person that we can blame, and I'm not talking about blame like bent over condemnation kind of blame, or accusing kind of blame, but I'm talking about responsibility, taking the responsibility, the right kind, to say, okay, I'm in a process of change. It's the devil. No, how could it be the devil that's stopping us? Yeah, he is, but he's using something called the flesh. But he's not really stopping us. We're in a progression. So we're not done yet. That's where we're justified by God. That's where I can sleep real good at night, knowing that, hey, yes, there's something inside of me that's not yet there, but I'm sleeping real good because I know I'm pursuing it. I'm going forward. Hallelujah. It's not God that's stopping us. Because in this chapter we know He spared not His own Son. Well, we're settled in on that, and we're still not there. But because we understand certain things, it helps us. And the doctrine that we walk in helps us. When a person doesn't understand that, a lot of times you'll talk to people, sometimes outside of us, and it could be inside of us that hasn't quite come. And they get the revelation, okay, my God, it is done. I'm talking about it is done. Yes, it is done. And you say, my God, I'm in agreement with you. It is done. It's us that's stopping it. That's right. That's right. Well, then for you to talk about the process, like we got to do this and we got to do that because otherwise, to them, it seems like a slap in the face or a cold bit of water thrown in their face. It's almost like, okay, you guys are backing up to say that there's a process and it all depends on this and that and the other, the dying of our flesh and those kind of things. When you don't understand that you do have to die, sometimes you can talk a little pseudo-spiritual. You're talking about a place up here and you're talking about two people that sometimes are walking it out, and we understand the battle like he's describing here, that our spirits are groaning. What are they groaning about? They're groaning because we know we're not there yet, but we're saying, Abba, get us there. And yet sometimes people will say, well, I just believe it's done and that's it. We don't have to, you know, why are you guys fasting and why are you guys praying in tongues and you need to, why don't you just accept it and okay. All right, I'll jump on the bandwagon with you. I'll jump on the bandwagon with you. I'll step outside all this long hours of prayer and stuff. The only thing is, since this is being a little bit mean, but I'm telling you to start with. Since it's so settled with you, and since you're kind of looking a little down your nose at us talking about having to go through a process, and with you it's already settled, then why don't you just step up and show me how settled it is already inside of you? Show me the blind eyes. Show me the walk that reveals how settled it is in you. Well, usually they're talking in a realm where their life is pretty much together. But when you step out of your life and you see all of the travesty around you and all the hurt and the pain and the ugliness, that's when you have to reconcile. Now, wait a minute. If God doesn't like this, and if I pray... See, a lot of times people don't want to put things in front of them because if you pray, then it'll confirm that there's something inside of you that doesn't quite believe it yet. I've already run into that monster. So I'm already admitting, God, I got to change. But that's what He's saying here. He says we're travailing. We're travailing within ourselves. He says, likewise, the Holy Spirit will help your infirmities. That's what He's trying to come to and say, okay, that doubt that you're in, that fear, that subtle, all those kinds of things. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Ghost Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. This is telling us, this is edification here. This is any time really that you edify yourself. I'm talking about, you say, well, I don't feel like I'm in an intercession. No, this is the intercession that is really what we call edification. You're sitting at a drive-thru waiting for your cheeseburger. And you're sitting there, you are making this intercession. It's called edification. It's not like where you're feeling great emotion. It could switch over to that if He really had your spirit. But this day in, day out, mundane, lowest of the low kinds of inroads into God is what people, all of us, have the capacity, if we don't watch it, to step over, because we don't develop a habit through the knowledge of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit wants to pray for us continually. He wants to pray because He makes edification, or He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And look, He says, He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, what it's really saying, the mind of the Spirit, you could invert there the mind of Christ, because He's just saying that the Spirit itself, who's searching the hearts, knows what is the mind of Christ, or the mind that comes from heaven, because He makes intercession, or He edifies you. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this is so wonderful. In that whole process, we know that all of these things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. So right now, if I'm praying in tongues, if I do this, and I'm doing it by example, I wouldn't do this out in front of you all the time. But if I sit here right now, now the Holy Spirit knew that I just did that as an example to you. But that was not a tongue for you, that was a tongue for me. What did He say in that? The whole pastor, he probably prayed for the church, the remainder of the church service. No. There's anointings like that. Sometimes you'll hear me kind of break into tongues, and then I'll begin to prophesy. He's cueing me in on there's something coming. And what I'm speaking in tongues is usually what I prophesy. I'll just interpret, and it's prophecy. But the example I just gave to you just then was just a short sentence. It didn't go on very long, but it was building my edification. Now, He'll probably finish that prayer out tomorrow morning or the next day, but it's always keeping my life in front of me, and He's praying for me according to the mind of Christ, according to the will of God. My life has destiny. My life has purpose. And He's prioritizing my life. And if He can use my authority to stop things, He'll do that. But usually that goes into another level of intercession. But usually He's just building me up. And He's praying everything that is according. How many of you know the Word of God is the mind of Christ? So He's praying the mysteries that you've been meditating, and He's praying those mysteries so that revelation can come up in you so that you'll walk in authority. But the wonderful thing about praying in tongues is it's always out in front of you. It's present. It'll edify you and build you up present, but it is tomorrow's victory for you. If you want to start putting spiritual money in the bank so that it's always there to on reserve for you to... Keep praying in tongues. Keep praying in tongues, because the sense of well-being that you feel today is what you laid up yesterday and last week and the day before. But you say, well, I haven't been praying in tongues, and I sure don't. Do I have to wait? No. It's all by grace. You just receive it now. Tomorrow you wake up and say, Lord, here's the appointment. I don't know. I've been pushed around. My time's been pushed around. But I'm going to develop a habit. Until I can find that little cubby hole to pray with you in, I want you to know this. I'll run up and down the road. If I'm not talking to somebody, I'll be talking to you. Hallelujah. Man, what kind of a deal is that? Hallelujah. And we know all things work together for good. What, the car wrecks? No. People dying at 46? No. That didn't work to nobody's good. No, God will get involved in it to help somebody. My brother-in-law dying at 46? No way. That didn't work for... No. Was there, well, they got this and they got... No, Jesus, God, help somebody, Lord. People start finding all kind of strange things that come out of something like a tragedy, and they'll say, well, that was the good that God was going to know. It's your praying in tongues that works the mind of Christ. And he says, we know all these things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. And now it's talking about, in context with chapter 7, he was talking about he foreknew Israel and everybody in that, that they should be predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that whole bunch, prior to the cross, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. We've got a tremendous teaching on that glorification process and how that whole bunch went to heaven in a glorified body. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him freely give us all things? This is the revival. God, help me. If I could just believe in enough, if it could be infused in me. What is it that stops me? That's the suffering. Because right now, before I drew my next breath, as far as he's concerned, he's given it all to me. He's given it all to me. And I think with all my heart, I believe that. I do. I do believe it with all my heart at this present time. But I am being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm waiting for this glorified body, but before it gets here, I'm going to be a part of a revival. How about you? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? See, God is justifying me. He's not condemning me. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Who, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. The devil? No. He's part of that bunch. Just name there. He's a creature. He's a principality. He cannot. The best way to access it is just don't stop praying in tongues. Hallelujah. All right. Just lift up your voice. Father, we love you tonight. Your word is so wonderful. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the teacher who's given us a prayer language, always teaching us. Even while we sleep, the Holy Spirit is teaching us so that when we awake, we're still with you. We're waking up out of a place where the Holy Spirit is being training us. So I love you, Father, and I thank you for your gentle grace in the word of God. And I pray the grace of this word will settle deeper and deeper in our life. And I thank you that you're crying out inside of us. Lord, I commit this whole bunch to you. And even now, Father, speak to our hearts as we receive any kind of offering that they have tonight. I thank you that this body and this church is abundantly blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I receive your grace now.